Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the station Wichita turns to first for live team coverage of breaking news. KNSS, Wichita's number one news, talk, and weather station. Depend on it.
Good morning, 6 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. Now a fair sky and 51 degrees. A child welfare case in Wichita may have been resolved. Saturday afternoon, a landlord was cleaning out a property in the 2000 block of South Vine. Police Lieutenant Jeff Gilmore says the landlord notified authorities after noticing an odor coming from concrete in the residence.
Police removed the concrete structure from the house and later found the remains of the child that was approximately 3 years old inside the concrete structure. Investigation into the circumstances of the child's death is ongoing, and this is still a very active and fluid investigation. At this time, we suspect this to be the body of 3-year-old Evan Brewer.
Confirmation of the child's identity is not yet official, pending DNA results, which could take up to 2 weeks. 6 months ago, the child's father, Carlo, contacted the Kansas Department for Children and Families and Wichita Police regarding the welfare of his 3-year-old son, Evan, who was in the custody of his mother, Miranda Miller. In April, Carlo filed an allegation of abuse with the state. In early July, the court issued a protection from abuse order to Carlo on behalf of his son, but authorities in the weeks following were unable to track down the child's mother to serve her with the order. She was finally located and arrested last week for aggravated interference with child custody. Another man, who along with Miller had been evicted from the residence on South Vine, was also arrested that same day for aggravated assault. The child is the grandson of former Wichita mayor and current candidate for governor, Carl Brewer. University of Kansas police have found a stolen, loaded gun in a restroom stall in an academic building on campus.
Officials said the .38 caliber revolver was discovered Tuesday morning in Wesco Hall. A check of the serial number showed the gun was stolen in Olathe, but additional details were not made available. It was the second report in 2 months of an unattended gun being found in a university bathroom. A Wichita State University employee left one behind in July. A Kansas law that recently took effect requires state universities to allow concealed guns on their campuses. Dan O'Neill, KNSS News.
The people of South Florida are right where coastal Texans were a week and a half ago, in the crosshairs of a monster. Hurricane Irma may be headed for a landfall in Florida.
With memories of Harvey still fresh in their minds, people who have property here are preparing for the worst.
It's terrifying and exciting at the same time for people. People want to be involved.
Robert Scott is a former firefighter who just returned to South Florida from upstate New York and is now rushing to prepare his home for the arrival of Hurricane Irma. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Miami.
Senators got back to work following their summer recess. Waiting for them, a new charge from the White House to come up with a legislative solution for the 800,000 so-called Dreamers. One senator says members of both parties are going to have to figure it out.
With Congress facing a six-month deadline to solve the DACA problem, Republican Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana says it can get done, but
it is going to require some people on both sides of the aisle to basically grow some oranges and step up to the plate and make some hard decisions.
Kennedy said he has not yet decided what he thinks of the DACA announcement. There is greater bipartisan support for creating legal status for the so-called Dreamers than some of the other immigration policies currently being discussed. Lana Zak, ABC News, the White House.
The Wichita City Council Tuesday discussed how to spend a big windfall for the city's sale of the Hyatt Hotel. Mayor Jeff Longwell tells KNSS News.
Each district received $1 million from the Hyatt, and some of them are looking at utilizing the monies and park.
And there's $10 million to be used to improve city streets. Longwell commented during Mondays with the mayor with Steve and Ted in the Morning here on KNSS. KNSS News time now, 6:04, 4 minutes past 6 o'clock. 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. We are Steve and Ted in the Morning now. 610, 10 minutes past 6 o'clock.
And this morning, out there in traffic, well, the gasoline prices, they seem to be running around $2.45 a gallon. So we jumped up to $2.49. Now we're backing off just a little bit. $2.45 out there. I spotted even better than that. Maple and Mays saw a station there at $2.42 a gallon. Best price I found out there so far this morning. Traffic update from KNSS Radio. I'm Jad Chambers.
And now the forecast with KNSS staff meteorologist Dan Holliday. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. Some mid-level clouds have spread across parts of central and south-central Kansas. We're even seeing a few spotty showers showing up on radar. But by early afternoon, as drier air pushes in, that will erode the clouds. We'll have some sunshine with a high 78 and a north breeze. It'll be clear and cool tonight down to 50, 78 for the high on Wednesday. I'm KNSS meteorologist Dan Holiday.
Now a fair sky, 50 degrees. We have a northwest wind at 6 miles per hour. 6:11 now with Steve and Ted. The impact of drugs on young children. Today, part 5 of our special series, One Nation Overdosed.
It's a killer that does not discriminate, claiming lives at alarming rates, even innocent children.
A 10-year-old boy is being called the youngest victim of Florida's opioid crisis.
For 1 week this summer, we crossed the country to see the opioid crisis up close. I'm ABC Senior Justice Correspondent Pierre Thomas. This is One Nation Overdosed.
Preliminary findings are that it was a mixture of heroin and fentanyl that killed this little boy.
10-year-old Alton Banks had gone to a nearby pool with friends. Hours later, Alton got sick. The boy's grandmother says his mother was concerned but did not know he was overdosing on fentanyl.
She says he wouldn't wake up, and I guess that's when they call fire rescue.
Paramedics rushed him to the hospital, where he later died. Police suspect that sometime between Alton's visit to the pool and his walk home, the 10-year-old came into contact with the deadly opioid.
To see his life be taken this way is very devastating. He haven't even had time to really enjoy life.
I'm ABC's Pierre Thomas.
A Florida county is hard hit by drug problems. Tomorrow, part 6 of our series, One Nation Overdose with Steve and Ted on KNSS. Well, they had a cooler day across Kansas Tuesdays. Wichita's high temperature yesterday, 81 degrees. Normal high for the date, 87. So yeah, you can tell the difference. Huge difference in temperatures. Today is Wednesday, September 6th, 2017. And on this date in 1901, President William McKinley was shot and mortally wounded by anarchist Leon Czolgosz at the Pan American Exposition in Buffalo, New York. McKinley died 8 days later. Czolgosz was executed on October 29th. The vice president, who then became president of the United States, Theodore Roosevelt, who at the time of the assassination was on a mountaintop somewhere in Maine on one of his on one of his customary outings. Somebody came and told him about it, and he immediately got down off the mountain and went to Washington. On this date in 1997, a public funeral was held for Princess Diana at Westminster Abbey in London, 6 days after her death in a car crash in Paris. A Massachusetts agricultural festival known for its sustainable practices is taking it one step further this year by collecting and recycling human urine. Organizers of the North Quabbin Garlic and Hearts Festival say the urine will eventually fertilize hay in the field on which the event is held. Founder Deborah Habib says the festival, scheduled for September 23rd and 24th, attracts more than 10,000 people, yet only produces 3 bags of trash. Habib hopes to collect about 1,200 gallons of urine. The Rich Earth Institute will collect the liquid waste in portable toilets designed for the purpose. Founder Kim Nace says the practice reduces the amount of nitrogen and phosphorus that enters waterways and saves on the cost of transporting urine to treatment plants. So this is quite a festival there in Massachusetts. Somebody came up with an interesting idea. So a new survey coming out today with an interesting conclusion. It finds that white Christians have become a minority in the United States. The Public Religion Research Institute says only 43% of Americans say they are white and Christian, compared to about 8 in 10 who said so 4 decades ago. Christians overall remain a large majority in the country, comprising about 70% of the population, but their ranks are being transformed by immigration and by the growing number of people who don't participate in organized religion. There are a lot of people out there who just, they aren't participating at all. The trend has had an impact across the spectrum of Christian traditions, including among white evangelicals, who until recently had been viewed as immune to decline. Survey found 17% of Americans now identify as white evangelical compared to about one quarter a decade ago. So it's all eroding. And only 43% of Americans now say they are white and Christian. I find that very interesting. Demographics, the changing face of America. We talk about it from time to time. And the fact that, this DACA thing is pointing out that we have a lot of people in this country who are not here legally. I mean, people who, we don't. The thing is, if you think about Americans, the vast majority, all the people out there, take the whole load. They don't look like you, maybe, or me. I mean, we define Americans as maybe as looking like us, but it's an interesting demographic mix. But this is the world's melting pot, always has been, since the founding. 6:16 now with Steve and Ted, and Florida bracing for Hurricane Irma. You've been talking about that on our news today, and we will continue to talk about it. This is a big, big deal, because apparently this is one monster of a hurricane. It is big and bad and ugly, and it's heading toward Florida. Of course, people down there are doing what they do, boarding up their windows. If they live in Florida, people lived in Florida for a time, they know how to handle this. Usually, this one could be pretty bad. Probably going to hit landfall, they're thinking Saturday, I believe Saturday sometime. But already gone through all those beautiful islands down in the Caribbean, started through there. And this is apparently going to be a nasty one, coming on the heels of what we had with Hurricane Harvey, which made its destruction, of course, with huge amounts of rainfall. Now, this one's got the pack and the big wind, and it's this one called Irma. It looks like it's going to be a nasty one coming toward the Florida coast down there. People buying up all the bottled water. Me, if I could get off work, if I didn't have work, I think I'd just, if I lived there, just say I'm going to Tennessee for a day or two, just pack up and leave. But anyway, so that's the big story this morning, bracing for Hurricane Irma. Coming up on 6:18 now with Steve and Ted. Ted's here for Leadoff Sports this morning. More bad news for the Royals, Ted. I looked at that score and I thought, man, that's a little lopsided, right?
Yeah, well, let's talk about the Wingnuts.
Okay, let's do Wingnuts first.
Yeah, the postseason begins for the Wichita Wingnuts tonight. Playoff baseball, Wingnuts South Division champions will take on the wild card team, the Gary South Shore Railcats. Game one of the best-of-five series is tonight in Gary, Indiana. Game three will return to Wichita on Saturday. The Wingnuts did not even travel to Gary during the regular season. The teams only met once. It was a three-game series in Wichita in mid-July, and Gary won two of those three games. Wichita Wingnuts and Gary tonight. Game one of the best-of-five series to begin the playoffs for the Wingnuts. And you mentioned the Kansas City Royals. Not a good day for the Royals yesterday as they got clobbered by the Detroit Tigers 13-2 in Detroit. Yikes. Lopsided loss there, so the teams have split the first two games of this series. The Royals, despite the loss, they do drop below .500 on the season, 68-69 now. But they're still only three games behind for a playoff spot. But there's only 25 games remaining in the regular season. Next up, once again, the Royals in Detroit tonight. Finish up the set against the Tigers.
I'm very skeptical. Their pitching is so iffy this year. Well, I mean, if they can't get that together, wow.
Yeah, the Royals are a .500 team.
Yeah.
Let's face it. This
team is a .500 team.
Let's face it.
You're right, Ted.
They win a few, they lose a few, and that's probably not good enough to make the playoffs.
They beat the poor ones and lose the good ones.
Right. That's kind of the way it's been all season long. Yeah. Royals are streaky, and they're about an even team. See how things go down the final stretch of the final 25 games. Royals-Tigers again tonight. Listen to live coverage at 6 o'clock this evening, and that's on Sports Radio KFH, 1240 AM, 97.5 FM. And in college football, the new polls coming out yesterday after Labor Day weekend, and the Kansas State Wildcats are now ranked number 19 in the nation in both the Associated Press poll and the coaches poll, moving up one spot this week in the AP poll. K-State off to a 1-0 start, and holding steady in the top 20 in both polls. Sports with Steve and Ted, KNSS.
Of course, a lot of teams like K-State, before they get into that conference schedule, they play some teams that are not especially teams.
They beat Central Arkansas.
It's kind of difficult to assess just how good they are yet. Till he plays some good
teams. Well, that's always been kind of Bill Snyder's MO is to play some rather weak teams to begin with before they get into the meat of their schedule. Get your players some confidence and do some things right.
If you're a football fan in Kansas, you got to like K-State. I do. I think.
A lot of folks are very bullish on the Wildcats this year. And we'll see how things progress.
Every year, as long as Snyder's here, I think I'm going to be bullish on him.
Why not?
He just seems like a great, great coach. All right, Ted, 6:21 now. Keep it here for Fox News commentator Todd Starnes. He's going to talk about a Georgia middle school and a controversial poem. It's time for our Prairie Fire coffee break on KNSS. Here, Ted, take this cup and go get me some. No.
Early coffee break.
Prairie Fire Coffee is the freshest coffee in the Wichita area because Prairie Fire Coffee beans are roasted fresh right here in Wichita. And you can get Prairie Fire Coffee at your office just like Steve and Ted by calling 267-3771 or online at prairiefirecoffee.com.
Coffee break.
Steve and Ted in the morning on KNSS.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.